Most High, the King of all. Then the sons of Aaron shouted, and they blew their trumpets of hammered metal. They sounded a mighty fanfare as a reminder before the Most High. Then all the people together quickly fell to the ground on their faces to worship their Lord, the Almighty God Most High. We'll conclude our reading at this point, the book of Sirah, chapter 50, verse 17. You've been listening to a serialized reading of the Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, with episodes presented each morning at 8:15 on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Your reader has been Barbara. Thank you for listening.
The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Margaret Mack, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading from the September 11th issue of the Challenger Community News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. And the front page article in the Challenger is about fentanyl. Fighting Fentanyl Through Faith. This article is by Yvonne James Coley and Kenneth Gaston. Community churches unite to fight the fentanyl crisis on Buffalo's Greater East Side. The following report sounds the alarm about the dangers of the fentanyl crisis in the community. Fentanyl, a synthetic opioid far more potent than morphine or heroin, has become a dominant and deadly presence in the landscape of substance use throughout the United States. Nowhere is this crisis more evident than in the Greater East Side of Buffalo, New York, where the period from July 2024 to June 2025 has been marked by a sharp increase in overdoses, loss, and community disruption. The neighborhoods identified by zip codes 14208, 14211, 14212, and 14215 have borne much of the epidemic's weight, with deeply felt repercussions for both individuals and families, especially within the African-American community. The rise of fentanyl, a deadly shift. Over the past year, the illicit drug market in Buffalo's East Side has been saturated by fentanyl, often laced into other substances such as cocaine, heroin, and prescription pills. Because fentanyl is nearly 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine, even trace amounts can trigger fatal overdoses. The unpredictability and invisibility of fentanyl in street drugs have made every dose a dangerous gamble. Impacts across key zip codes. 14208, this zip code, encompassing portions of Maston Park and Cold Spring, has seen rising emergency calls related to opioid overdoses. Local hospitals and clinics report a surge in admissions for overdose treatment and related complications, stretching resources thin. During the period discussed, there have been 7 fatal overdose deaths. Zip code 14211, including the neighborhoods of Broadway, Fillmore, and Genesee, Moselle. 14211 has experienced some of the highest overdose rates in the city. Community organizations such as Group Ministries Incorporated have noted that a troubling increase in accidental deaths, often among younger adults who may not realize the presence of fentanyl in recreational drugs. There have been 8 fatal overdose deaths during this period. Zip code 14212.
The area covering parts of Lovejoy and East Delavan faces a dual challenge: persistent poverty and an influx of fentanyl-laced substances. Local leaders have voiced concern about the burden on families and the difficulty of accessing prevention and treatment services. There have been 6 fatal overdose deaths. Zip code 14215, Bailey, Kensington. Identified by zip code 14215, has become a focal point for harm reduction initiatives. Yet, the relentless encroachment of fentanyl has resulted in record numbers of overdose events, with many victims unaware of the drug's presence until it is too late. There have been 13 fatal overdose deaths during this period. The epidemic's toll on the African American community. While fentanyl use and its consequences span all demographics, the African American community in Buffalo's East Side has been disproportionately affected. Historical inequalities in healthcare access, higher rates of poverty, and systemic barriers have compounded the dangers of this epidemic. Overdose deaths. African American residents in these zip codes have experienced a disproportionate number of fatal overdoses compared to other groups. Mistrust of medical institutions and insufficient culturally competent care often discourage people from seeking help. Family and community impact. The loss of family members to fentanyl overdoses reverberates through entire neighborhoods, leaving children without parents, elders without support, and communities grappling with collective grief. Barriers to recovery. Resources for prevention, treatment, and recovery remain unevenly distributed. African American community organizations have called for more targeted outreach, expanded access to naloxone, and comprehensive support services to address these challenges. Moving forward, local responses and urgent needs efforts are underway across Buffalo's East Side to confront the fentanyl crisis. Grassroots groups such as Group Ministries Incorporated are distributing naloxone kits, holding educational workshops, and advocating for policy change. However, the urgency of the epidemic demands even greater attention, particularly for the neighborhoods and communities most at risk. Conclusion. The dangers of fentanyl use in Buffalo's Greater East Side have left an indelible mark on zip codes 14208, 14211, 14212, and 14215 during the past year. The African American community, already facing structural challenges, has suffered profound losses. Addressing this epidemic requires not just medical intervention, but a holistic approach involving education, community engagement, and systematic reform. Only by recognizing the scope and specific impact of fentanyl here can Buffalo begin to heal and build a safer future for all its residents. Next week's article, What Group Ministries Incorporated is Doing to Halt the Growing Epidemic. And under the column of Black History, we've got an article entitled Remember Attica. What happened at Attica didn't stop with Attica. To remember Attica is to recall the Attica Prison Uprising Rebellion of 1971, a pivotal event in U.S. history where over 1,200 inmates rebelled for 5 days at the Attica Correctional Facility in New York. The rebellion, which demanded better living conditions and opportunities, ended violently when state police and National Guard troops retook the prison, resulting in a virtual bloodbath and the deaths of 43 people, including 10 hostages, and leading to widespread public outrage, investigations, and calls for prison reform. Key aspects of the Attica Uprising. The uprising, September 9 through 13, 1971, incarcerated men at Attica took over the prison, holding 40 guards hostage and issuing a manifesto with 27 demands. At the time of the uprising, there were 2,100 inmates living in a facility built for 1,600 people. The prison was completely run by white guards and employees, though over 60% of inmates were black and Latino. Prisoners were only allowed one shower per week and one roll of toilet paper each month. Their mail was heavily censored to cut out anything involving prisons and prisoners' rights. The medical neglect within the community was criminal. Guards often pitted inmates against each other to incite racial violence. Inmates also labored for 40 cents a day, assembling mattresses, shoes, and license plates. The retaking. Negotiations failed, and Governor Nelson Rockefeller ordered a violent assault on the prison. State police and National Guard troops used tear gas and gunfire to regain control. Casualties. The retaking resulted in 43 deaths, including 29 prisoners and 10 hostages, with 85 inmates suffering gunshot wounds. Aftermath and legacy. The event exposed systemic inequalities within the U.S. prison system and sparked public outcry and protest. Why remembering Attica matters. First, prison reform. The uprising pushed for long overdue reforms, including better medical care, vocational training, and improved living conditions, though many of the issues persist today. Two, advocacy for incarcerated people. Organizations like the Fortune Society continue to fight for the rights of incarcerated people and advocate for a more humane correctional system, honoring the legacy of Attica. And finally, historical awareness. Remembering Attica serves as a critical reminder of the brutal treatment and abuses faced by incarcerated people and the importance of continued advocacy for justice and equality within the correctional system. And under the subject of area briefs, we have Buffalo Kensington Expressway Project Community Meeting. Join the NYCLU and community members to discuss the importance of the New York State Department of Transportation's environmental impact statement on the Buffalo Kensington Expressway. $1.2 billion redevelopment plan. Next steps and how the community can get involved will be discussed. The meeting will take place on Thursday, September 18th at 6 p.m. at 175 Woodlawn. To date, only an environmental assessment has been completed. A follow-up in a February lawsuit mandated that the Department of Transportation conduct a full environmental impact statement. In his ruling, Judge Emilio Cavaco stated the EIS is the only instrument that would provide a fair and impartial analysis of all of the considerable environmental impacts. Again, the meeting is Thursday, September 18th at 6 p.m. at 175 Woodlawn. And also under the headline of area briefs, Bennett High School 100th anniversary weekend. Bennett High School will celebrate its 100th anniversary September 19, 20, and 21. For tickets and more information, go to www.bennettalumni.com or call Neil at 716-308-5000. 5451. You are listening to a reading of articles and features from the Challenger on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. And under the subject of faith and family, Harvest Time Revival, Overseer Alan Corr will host the upcoming Harvest Time Revival September 24th to 26th at 7 p.m. nightly. First Centennial Missionary Baptist Church, 273 High Street, featuring guest evangelist Chrissy Stevens, CEO of God's Cover Girls, Atlanta, Georgia. Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church to celebrate 104th anniversary. The Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 237 East North Street will celebrate its 104th anniversary on Sunday, September 28th at 11 a.m. All are welcome as we thank God for a legacy of faith and love. And also under Faith and Family, there's a musical appreciation for Joyce D. Leonard, hosted by the new Mount Carmel Baptist Church. It will be held on Friday, September 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Edison Street Community Church, 28 Edison Street. Come join us to show our love and appreciation. And under local news, the Minority Bar Community Give Back Extravaganza. The Minority Bar Association of Western New York will host its inaugural Community Give Back Extravaganza Saturday, September 20th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Front Park, Porter Avenue near the Peace Bridge. The event is created to uplift and support high school age students and young parents, especially those who are too often overlooked. However, no one who seeks assistance will be turned away. The goal is to make a difference for over 500 families in the Buffalo community by providing book bags, essential school supplies, and more. Our doors are open to everyone. All this is possible because of our loyal and generous partners. And under the subject of health matters, Dumas RISE providers awarded $200,000 Highmark Blue Fund grant to expand culturally centered mental health services. Dumas RISE Providers Incorporated has been awarded a $200,000 grant from Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield's Blue Fund to expand its Building Capacity for Clinicians of Color initiative. The award comes through a highly competitive process that resulted in 24 recipients across Western New York. This investment will allow Dumas RISE providers to strengthen the pipeline of diverse mental health professionals while expanding culturally centered care for Buffalo's communities of color. The program provides exam preparation, credentialing support, advanced training, mentoring, and opportunities for clinicians to give back through community-based counseling services. This award is a tremendous recognition of the urgent need to invest in the clinicians who support our community every day, said Kelly Dumas, LCSW, founder and board chair of Dumas RISE Providers. Mental health professionals of color often face unique barriers in accessing licensure, training, and resources. With this funding, we can help them put on their own oxygen mask, reducing burnout and building long-term sustainability, while ensuring our families receive care that is culturally responsive and rooted in community. The Blue Fund, supported by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield, invests in organizations that improve health outcomes and reduce health disparities. Since its inception, the Blue Fund's total investment in local organizations and initiatives has reached more than $30 million, supporting critical efforts in behavioral health, maternal health, food security, and community health. Dumas Rise Providers Incorporated is honored to be recognized among this year's awardees and remains committed to advance mental wellness and equality on Buffalo's East Side and beyond. For more information about Dumas Rise Providers, visit www.dumasriseproviders.org. And also under Health Matters Community Health Fair, Your Health Matters Community Health Fair, sponsored by Our Savior Lutheran Church, in collaboration with Roswell Park Comprehensive Care Program, will be held Friday, September 19th from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at 26 Brunswick Boulevard. Enjoy fun activities, giveaways, and the opportunity to speak with health professionals. A prostate education workshop will be held at 10 a.m. Additional health and information available. To register, call 716-885-1108. And under community news, Visit Buffalo launches a new multi-million dollar campaign and brand initiative. Visit Buffalo has unveiled a multi-million dollar tourism brand and marketing campaign aimed at reshaping the city's image, expanding the local tourism economy, attracting new visitors from across the country, and encouraging more media coverage from the press. The groundbreaking national effort will feature digital video, outdoor billboards, and social media advertising in target markets such as Boston, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. This is a pivotal moment for Buffalo visitor economy, said Patrick Keller, president and CEO of Visit Buffalo. For the first time, we have the resources and visibility to share Buffalo's story on a national scale. This campaign is about more than tourism. It's about redefining how the world sees Buffalo and celebrating the qualities that make this community remarkable. The initiative is the most expensive brand redevelopment and advertising campaign in the four-decade history of Erie County's nonprofit destination marketing organization. As part of the effort, there is an updated logo and a redefined name. Visit Buffalo, formerly Visit Buffalo Niagara, the new shortened version aligns with the mission to attract visitors to Buffalo and Erie County. The advertising campaign now underway is called That's Buffalo for You. This refrain follows a series of two-word phrases spotlighting Buffalo's unexpected contrast and distinct personality. The phrasing and concept reflect deep community insight and local pride. This mission and campaign are steeped in local feedback. The new brand and identity emerged from a process that began in January with a series of listening sessions, interviews, and workshops. About 25 artists, entrepreneurs, and local leaders participated, providing the input that helped shape not just the campaign, but the entire new brand identity. Their voices reflect what Buffalonians love most about this city. We're raising Buffalo's profile in the travel media as well as in new markets, said Keller. The combination of national advertising and national media coverage puts Buffalo in the spotlight like never before. Next is an editorial piece by Baba Omawel Ing. What's really at stake in America and all over the world. As you know, our story as Black people, African Americans, did not start in America. It started in civilizations that span the entire planet, understanding all that the world civilization brings to mind in terms of achievement, technology, and civil advancement that lifted all human beings to higher levels of social engagement that each generation found itself in. We, Black people, descendants of Africa, are indigenous to the earth. Our forced immigration here to North America was not a trip that we planned, but one which was orchestrated by European people, particularly Spaniards, Portuguese, and English, who had no intention but to exploit, oppress, and eventually annihilate the beingness of Black people in the world. Our exploitation had to do with both our personhood and the lands from which we came. The exploitation of our persons had to do with the theft of the labor of our ancestors on plantations, and the exploitation of our land has to do with the theft of resources from the land in Africa. Our oppression had to do with cutting our ties to each other and destroying and stripping us of every vestige of our past and our culture. A culture that included language, traditions, and spirituality, our ways of worshiping our Creator from whom we get all power. Africans people most of the lands on this planet, from the continent of Africa to the Andes, bringing and developing civilization at each stage. That was the mandate of our Creator. The civilized man and woman were charged with civilizing the uncivilized. This year's Kwanzaa celebration and observance is geared toward remembering Black excellence as we begin to commit to studying the values of our traditions, our rituals, our language, and the full import of our culture to all generations in a way that they can understand and identify with. The celebration will highlight the never-ending bond between generations of Black men and women so that we know that in our commitment to each other that will save us from the onslaught and never-ending attacks on our people. These attacks have impacted every level of our lives, from books being banned in our schools that teach the truth of our real story in America, to the inequalities in our healthcare systems and the threat to take back all the gains that our people, all good people, have fought for, like voting rights and even the right to dissent. We must prepare to repair the damage that has been done by the intentional erasure of the truth of our story from the books that are being presented to our children in public educational institutions that push the lie of white supremacy and Black inferiority. Lies that whitewash or erase the experience of our ancestors on the plantations here in America, where their labor was brutally stolen and Black people were terrorized into obedience by way of the inhumane perpetuation of those systems of hate and oppression, even while resistance continued throughout this country and on the continent of Africa. These are the issues that will be presented and talked about as we celebrate our culture during Kwanzaa, with music and dancing and highlighting the talent of our young people to not only entertain each other and the world, but also commit to developing all that is needed for us to actually be each other's medicine as we move into a future that challenges us to be our core, challenges us to our very core as human beings. So please, prepare to come out and join us for this year's Kwanzaa celebration and bring your pride in being Black and African American so that it heals all of us as it is intended to do by a creator that created us in his, her image. You've been listening to a reading of articles and features from the September 11th issue of The Challenger. Your reader has been Margaret Mack. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have a reading of the Batavia Daily News. Following that at 10 o'clock is the East Aurora Advertiser, and 11 we have the Niagara Gazette. Stay with us for these readings and more throughout the day. You're listening to the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Our volunteer radio readers broadcast daily readings of printed matter to our listeners who are blind or have a print disability throughout Western New York and Southern Ontario's Niagara Peninsula. The Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service has brought nearly 40 years and more than 300,000 hours of radio readings to those without sight. Our broadcast signal is provided at no charge by WNED. For more information, call us. The following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Hello, this is Patricia, and for the next hour, I'll be reading from current issues of the Batavia Daily News on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Starting with the Batavia Daily News for September 12th, Friday, September 12th. Genesee Opposes New Solar Projects by Brian Quinn. Genesee County legislators voted Wednesday to oppose the siting of large-scale industrial solar projects on strategic prime farmland. The resolution they approved also opposes the proposed EDP Alabama solar project specifically. However, before the vote on this